We turn to God's Word tonight. Tonight we focus in on the first commandments. You shall have no other gods before me, but we're turning to 1 John chapter 5 for a scripture passage. 1 John chapter 5, we start reading at verse 18, reading through verse 21. And our text tonight comes from verse 21. First John 5, we start reading at verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Verse 21 is our text. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. If you turn over in your hymn books to Lord's Day 34, that's found on page 46. As soon as you see question and answer 92, you realize that that is simply the listing of the Ten Commandments. And I'm trusting that many of you have them memorized already. So we'll skip over that. Question 93. How are these commandments divided? Number 94, what does the Lord require in the first commandment? And 95, what is idolatry? You know from life on the world stage that the Buddhists are idol worshippers. The Hindus are idol worshippers. But the Americans? According to the Buddhists, the most sacred relic in the world is a tooth. BC, that's about the time of Ezekiel the prophet. Out of the ashes of Siddhartha Gautama, one of his disciples sifted through those ashes after his cremation and found the tooth. That was in northern India up by the Nepal border. 800 years later, somebody transported that tooth to Ceylon, now the island called by the name Sri Lanka. There they built a temple to the tooth. And you can worship there yet today. Up front in that temple, they have a big golden flower. And in the middle of that flower, Gautama's tooth. Around it, all these rubies and jewels. And they bring in tons and tons of fresh flowers. Hundreds of thousands of people worship at that temple of the tooth. Kind of silly, wouldn't you say? Pathetic. In the country of India, according to the Hindus, there are, according to their mythology and pantheon, 330 million gods and goddesses. If you transport those gods and goddesses into America, we could each have our own god or goddess. The Hindus believe themselves to be the most religious people on planet Earth. They even believe in the sanctity of animal life. Ah, by the way, that's catching on with popularity, right? Hence the vegetarian move, and they say you shouldn't eat meat anymore. Hinduism is coming full circle, you know. So in addition to those 330 million gods and goddesses, of which you can pick your own, they also have 75 million cows. Maybe that count is no longer accurate. And they have holy rats, holy monkeys, holy snakes, holy elephants. Kind of pathetic, don't you think? So the Buddhists are idol worshippers, and the Hindus are idol worshippers, but the Americans? Yet, this is an eternal book. And with an eternal book, there come these words, "Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. For the Lord is saying to you, first, guard against idols." Guard against idols. So the Lord says this in such fashion. Dear little children, guard yourself from idols, even with the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Please note, the Lord is not saying this like the angry judge. He's not slamming the gavel on his judgment bench saying, "You shall have not have any other gods before you." And even as the Apostle John writes these words, he's not saying these words out of like the stingy old-timer shaking the skinny finger, "Keep your fingers out of the cookie jar, children." It's not that God is a killjoy. In exactly the opposite. He is speaking with passion. He is speaking with compassion. He is speaking with love. And like a parent says to a child, "Don't touch the hot stove," or "Don't play with matches," or "Don't play with the knives," or "Don't go running out in the street." The parent does it for the good of the child. Your God says these words for the good of his child. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. The word "guard yourselves" is a strong word. It's the same word. Certainly the Apostle Paul and Apostle John must have seen it in action lots and lots of times. It was this word used for a soldier guarding a prisoner. What happens if a soldier doesn't guard the prisoner? Prisoner escapes. What is this text saying to you? Saying, take yourself, put yourself behind bars like in a prison cell, and keep yourself locked off from idols, because if you don't, those idols will creep in from every possible corner and start to wean away your love and affection from your God to these false trusts and these false hopes and these false loves. So the Lord is saying to you, guard yourself from idols and love me. But catch it. He wants you to love him not because he does this, that, and the next thing for you. He wants you to love him because of who he is. You know what happens when a rich man goes to a poor country and he starts handing out $10 bills? Last time, Wayne and Sandy were home, they were talking about that. If they're surrounded in poor country and all these scads of children are absolutely everywhere, Nate, you were in Africa, what would happen if a man would start handing out $10 bills to those children? Swarmed, right? If a rich man keeps handing out wads of money, there's all kinds of people that swarm around him, but God doesn't want you to love him because he keeps opening the windows of heaven and pouring out all these blessings upon you, but he wants you to love him simply because he is. He doesn't want you to love him because he gives you a good family and he gives you good loved ones and he gives you a nice job and because he gives you a house and because he gives you and because he gives you. He doesn't want you to love him because of all these things he's dishing out for you. He wants you to love him because he is. So that even if, like Job, he takes away your occupation, he takes away your wealth, he takes away your health, he takes away your friends, he takes away your children, you will say, like Job, I think it was his finest moment. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Ah, that is precisely how some of our old timers leave this earth. With their dying breath, professing their love for the Lord. Guard yourself from idols. Lord's saying here in the text also, love him only. It's a love relationship, you realize, between God and you. It's a love relationship. In Israel of Old Testament, it used to talk about God being the husband and Israel being the wife. New Testament terminology, you've got the same thing. Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. So it's a love relationship between God and his people, between his people and God. And in that context, he says, you shall have no other gods before me, which tells you, if you have a love relationship with him, he deserves all your love, he deserves all your worship, he deserves all your adoration and praise, and if you take of that love and that adoration and that worship and you send it in another corner, it's like spiritual flirting. It's like spiritual adultery. And God says, don't do that. I can't stand that. Well, but truth be told, if you and I had to walk in those shoes, we couldn't stand it either. Now, I say it delicately because some have experienced this pain so deeply and so personally. It's almost too painful to even mention in an illustration, but the point is clear. In today's world, with some of these celebrities showing up on TV or some of these senators or representatives showing up on TV, and lo and behold, underneath, behind the scenes, they've been having this scandal of an affair going on. The pain of that is horrendous. Of course, how do affairs start out? Behind the back, in secret, in private. And if over 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years, there's this affair that's percolating along and the innocent spouse does not know that this is going on, when that finally comes to light, there's an eruption, there's a blow up, because who can stand that? And God's got the double problem because, well, for human beings, you can do it behind somebody's back. But God has no back to do it behind. And God says, don't do it in my face either. And then God can know all your thoughts and know all your motives in your heart, and he can know all your actions and all your words. How painful would that be for God if he sees you dabbling or flirting with this idol or that? How painful it is it on the human stage? Too painful for words. I don't know the man's name. But I do know a story from Wisconsin that a man had an occupation. The occupation he had was a cement truck driver, making deliveries for the construction spots all around. He also simultaneously was suspecting that his wife was having an affair. He had no proof, and he asked her about it, and she denied it, and yet there was a certain guy that seemed to be the apple of her eye, and it seemed to be that he was bumping around too often, and it just seemed fishy, it seemed funny, and just this man had the creeps in terms of what was going on behind his back, and he couldn't, but he had no proof. One day he's out delivering a load of wet concrete. And you know how heavy those cement trucks are. And as he's delivering this load, the assignments that arrived in front of him took him down the country road past his own house. And when he came past his house, here is that car in his driveway. And a moment of this is it hit him, and he hit the brakes and he stopped that big truck, and the barrel is turning, of course. And he backs that truck up and he pulls into the driveway, and you're wondering what's going to happen next. And instead he simply took down the chute of that cement truck, stuck it through the window of the car, threw the machine into gear, and pumped that baby full of wet concrete until the sides bulged and up to the windows, and then he drove away. I don't know if that man was a Christian or not. Was he in the wrong? Yes. Is it understandable? Yes. But God doesn't have a back that you do it behind. God sees all things. God knows all things. So he says here in this commandment, what does it mean that you should not commit adultery, commit idolatry? The Lord says idolatry, answer 95, is having or inventing something in which one trusts in place of or alongside of the only true God. By the way, parents, I was impressed with the answers of your children. Please compliment them. They had that right on target. Answer 94, that I am not wanting to endanger my very salvation. Therefore, I avoid and shun all idolatry, magic, superstitious rites, prayer to saints, and all other creatures. So I avoid and shun all idolatry and magic. Magic is making a comeback too, you know. Between the horoscopes and the palm readers and the tarot cards and the crystal balls and the psychic sites, there's all kinds of magic around. Some, we just came through Halloween, right? Seems so innocent and so much fun, and who can resist the candy? But magic and superstitious rites are making a comeback too, even with the resurrection of the occult. It's almost as if we're moving into a new paganism with the resurrection of the occult. And you go into some modern bookstores, not the Christian bookstores, of course, but you go into some modern bookstores and they got a bigger section on the occult than they have a section on Bibles. What kind of a land are we entering? No. What kind of a land are we already in? So you avoid all magic, all superstitious rites, all prayer to saints. Well, of course, you wouldn't be praying to St. Mary or St. Peter or St. Sebastian, would you? Of course not, but watch out. A great big hospital complex decided that their nurses and their doctors were under too much strain and stress, so they called in a consultant. Consultant was from way across the state, a big city. Sophisticated lady, had an advanced degree in nursing, had an advanced degree, PhD in hospital management. And she gave this lecture on how to avoid stress. And she explained that at the end of the day, when she was really feeling stressed, she would sit in her home And she'd just unwind with a cup of tea and talking to her daughter. Only problem was, her daughter had died 2 years earlier at the age of 18. No, 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 don't go there, the Lord says. I am sufficient, even if you lose loved ones, even if you're alone, even if you have no one else to talk to, I am sufficient for you. And he does not want you to endanger your very salvation. For he has given Christ, and Christ has been enough. Redeeming you on the cross of Calvary and loving you enough, you should find in him love enough too. Oh, but the Lord also says, love him always. And so that part of the answer goes back 95, 94. And I sincerely acknowledge the only true God. Trust him alone. Look to him for every good thing. Love him. Fear him. Honor him with all my heart. There's five things in a row. Trust him alone. Look to him for every good thing. Love him. Fear him. Honor him. Of course. If he loved you enough to put Christ on the cross of Calvary, if he loved you enough to put his own son into the pit of hell for you, if he loved you enough to let his son before his face bleed and suffer and die, then you can love him too, right? And you can tell him too, I shall love you always. Can't you? The news says that in this past month of October, it was the worst month for our nation in terms of casualties, wounded and dead in the country of Afghanistan. I am reminded of a statement from years ago when we were at Ellsworth, Michigan. One of the elders had been in the beach landing of Normandy, and the stress load had been so great for him as he's driving this gasoline truck to supply the tanks that his sweat glands in his hands totally dried up. And as a grown man, years later, he couldn't get any sweat onto the palms of his hands. And when we'd shake hands, I'd always have to be careful with him because the gashes in his hands went right on down to the meat. This respected, loving, soft-spoken elder said, "War is hell." Always was, never changed, did it? Young couple was engaged. They loved each other immensely, and he was called off to service. So they decided to postpone the wedding and wait until after his deployment. And first, when he's at the combat zone, these letters come. Long, loving, passionate, devoted letters. As he's writing to his sweetheart, just pouring out his heart, and it's like she was the focus of his life and nothing else in all his waking hours he was thinking about her. And those letters kept coming, 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 and suddenly they stopped. Weeks went by and she heard nothing. Suddenly, there was a letter, but in a handwriting she did not recognize. She tore it open and it was from him, but it was terse and short. And his words said, "Dear, There has been another battle. I have lost both my arms. I have asked a buddy to write this letter to you. Since I cannot work and I cannot provide for you, I release you from our engagement. Signed. That letter also was not answered. Instead, she bought tickets, she flew to the country, she searched out the hospital, she came to his bed, threw herself down, and she said, "But I don't release you. I will love you always." The Lord wants you tonight to say to him, "I will never release you. I will love you always." And the Lord says to you tonight, "Little children, guard yourselves from idols."